Jesus' name we have prayed. Somebody shout a better amen. Please, let's have our seat in his presence this morning. Can you look to your neighbor this morning and say, my neighbor, how are you doing this morning? With a smile on your face, say, you're looking wonderful this morning. The theme of our impact service this morning is shaped by fire. Can you turn to your neighbor one more time? Say, are you ready to be shaped by the fire of God? No. Say, tell them like you're serious. Are you ready to be shaped by fire? 2 Timothy 2 says that in a great house there are many vessels. Vessels unto honor, vessels unto dishonor. But if any man purges himself, he shall be sanctified, set apart, and fit for the master's use. This morning, we just want to come before the Lord and say, Father, please purge us, oh God. Sanctify us, oh God. Anything that will not allow us to do your will, to be where you want us to be, Lord, take it out in the name of Jesus. Can you lift those hands to heaven and just pray that sincere prayer? Father, help me this morning. Some of us, the Lord has been speaking to us. He wants to use us in different capacities, but there are some things. There is unforgiveness. There is sin in your life that is dragging you back. Every sin, every besetting sin, every little sin in my life, Lord, I surrender this morning. Can you pray this morning? Can we say, Father, Lord, purge me, Lord, with your fire. Purify me, oh God. Purify me, purify me. Oh, who can ascend into the hills of the Lord? He that has a clean and a pure heart. Somebody say, Lord, purify me. I don't want to play games anymore. Come on. Somebody pray this morning. Pray this morning. I don't want to do church the same way. I don't want to come every time. Lord, change me, oh God. Purge me. Purge me. This song is very simple. I want you to take this song in your heart and sing it to the Lord. Even on Monday, even on Tuesday, even on Wednesday, throughout the week. Purify me, oh God. Purify me, oh God. Be tried by fire, purified. You take whatever you desire. Yeah. Lord is my life. I wanna be tried by fire, yeah. Purified. You take whatever you desire. Can we sing together, everybody? Lord is. Let's hear everybody sing it at church.
I want to be shined by fire.
Purified. Sing it.
Purified.
You take
whatever you desire.
Lord is my life.
Lord,
I want to hear you, church. Sing it. With our hands lifted to heaven.
I want to be tried by fire.
Purified.
Purified.
You take. Let's go now. Everybody come.
I wanna be tried.
Come on.
Purify.
Come on.
You take whatever you desire.
Somebody surrender this morning.
Lord.
As a sacrifice, that's our prayer. Say, I want to burn for you, Jesus. Only, come on, everybody, lift your voice. Clean my hands. Come on, sing it out. Say,
clean my hands.
Purify.
Purify my heart.
I want to burn for you.
I want to burn for you.
Only.
Only for you.
Come on,
now.
Take my life.
I wanna be tried by fire.
Everybody say,
purified. You take whatever
has been holding me back, whatever that is competing with you in my life, oh God.
Hey. I surrender all to you. Everything I give to you.
Lift your hands to heaven and say, withholding nothing, everybody.
Withholding nothing.
Yes, Lord.
Withholding nothing.
I surrender.
Oh,
I don't pray that this morning. Come on now. Heaven's glorious. Let's pray to the Lord.
Rise up, please, as we share the word together. We're going to read it together from the screen. We're going to put up Daniel 3 from verses 21 to 28. Daniel 3, 21 to 28. want to go. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and they were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace was exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." "Look," he answered, "I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mount of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. And the satraps, administrators, governors, and the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw this man on whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of the fire was not on them. Last verse. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servant who trusted in him." Heavenly Father, is that the last? They have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies, and they should not serve nor worship any God except their own God. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise this morning. Lord, we commit this service into your hand and this session of the word. Father, we pray, oh God, that you speak to us directly. Lord, every heart that is here, Lord, I present before you. Lord, touch, change, turn around, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Let your word find a place in their hearts and in their lives. And I submit myself unto you. Let your word flow unhindered, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Glorify yourself as only you can, for in Jesus' name we pray. Why don't you put our hands together as we have our seats? Praise, praise, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You're all welcome to the Impact Service powered by the young adults of Heaven's Glorious Embassy. The name of the ministry is called Next. And by the blessings of the shepherds of this house, our pastors, they've given us once a month. And we're grateful, we're thankful for that. We do not take it for granted. So please, let's celebrate our parents in the Lord, Pastors John and Dr. Ibi Omewa. Thank you very much. Praise the Lord. Shaped by fire. I wouldn't do this message justice without telling you that you should go back and read the entire chapter of Daniel 3. What normally happens is for a lot of us that were born in church, either you were saved or not, you hear these wonderful stories and you skip them because you already know them, and then you miss the revelation that God may have for you. I can tell you that men have been reading scriptures for hundreds of centuries, and they are new every morning if you let the Holy Spirit give you a revelation. So I encourage you. I know you learned it in Sunday school 35 years ago. I want to say, please open up your heart, because God is going to teach you something new, just as he has taught me. So again, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we're talking about their experience with this king Nebuchadnezzar, who chose to build himself, right, an image and ask people to worship that image. Shaped by fire. I want to define this fire, or what I call a fire experience. It's a highly pressured situation, highly fearful, extremely uncomfortable, in which success seems very slim or unlikely. I'm going to repeat that again. The fire of fire experience, it's a highly pressured situation, highly fearful, extremely uncomfortable, in which success seems very slim or unlikely. Praise the Lord. Now, before we get more into a number of things that I want to accomplish and God will accomplish through this message, let's quickly look at some biblical references to fire. When Bible talks about fire, Bible talks about animal sacrifices made to God. And so when animal sacrifices in the Old Testament are made to God, fire is used to consummate that offering which God receives. One of the most popular ones is when Elijah was being challenged by those false prophets, and he said, let's put sacrifices on the altar. You call on your God, I call on my God, and they did. And in fact, for his, they poured water that was flowing all through the trenches of the altar. And once he called God, before he finished the statement, fire fell down from heaven to consume the offering, which indicated that God had accepted his offering. So that's an indication of fire. Praise the Lord. In Genesis 19:24, I'm not going to read it, but this is again a popular story, Sodom and Gomorrah. And because of their sin that was exceeding, that city was destroyed by God using fire. So again, another indication of what fire does, destruction. Exodus 3:1-6, God used fire to get the attention of Moses. Moses saw a bush on fire, but yet the bush was not consumed. Moses' attention was got by God because he kept looking and trying to figure out, what is this? God got his attention because he saw fire burning in a bush, but the bush was not consumed. Again, another reference to fire doing something different than we are normally used to. In Exodus 13:21, Bible talks about God leading the children of Israel by day and leading them by night. And by night, he led them through a pillar of fire to provide them direction. Again, another reference to fire providing direction to God's children. In Hebrews 1:7, which is actually a reference to Psalm 104, verse 4, Bible talks that he makes his ministers as flames of fire. Let's do that again, Bible student. He makes his ministers flames of fire. Indicating execution, indicating power, indicating intensity. Like his ministers, his children are just not ordinary people. He used a description of fire. Fire in intensity, fire in execution, fire in power. That is what he has made his ministers. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to discuss the purpose of the fire experience. Our backdrop is going to be again Daniel 3. And so we're going to be using, almost kind of going through the scripture and speaking out some things. My very first point, let's go to Daniel 3:21, and then we'll go to 25 and 26, and I'll read from here. It says, these men were bound, I want you to pay attention, in their coats, trousers. Now, for those who weren't born in Africa, that is pants. Okay? So you see why the U.S. used trousers, because Bible used trousers, but that's a discussion for another day. I'm just kidding. They are turbans and their other garments, and they were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Let's go to 25. Look, talking about the king, he answered, said, I see four men loose. Did you catch that? The previous verse, it says they bound them on their coat, meaning that they were tied. On their trousers, meaning that they were tied on their legs. And on their every garment. So every garment they were wearing, they were tied. They were immobile. They couldn't move. They were extremely limited, incapacitated. And all of a sudden, in 25, Bible says, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Freedom and loosening is part of the purposes of your fire experience. This man, before that fire experience, whatever was going on in their life, whatever was going on around them, brought a limitation to their lives. Limited them in being able to perform or fulfill the purposes God had for them. There was a loosening here. Freedom. There's a lot of people here who are bound, and because of that, that limitation does not even make you socialize, does not even make you interact, because you don't feel adequate. You don't feel enough. Some people are bound in their legs, probably because of what life has thrown at them. There's limitation of one form or the other. Some people are bound just because who is supposed to know them or who is supposed to hear about them has yet to know them or hear about them. And so that fire experience, as soon as they were thrown there, Bible says that even the king saw them and said, "These men are loose." And let's put back that verse. 25. Not only were they loose, they were walking in the midst of the fire. See, pay attention to this. Whenever you read scripture, don't rush. Especially when the Holy Spirit is trying to tell you to read for a little bit. When men are bound, men can't walk. When men are bound, men can't move. When men are bound, men can't accomplish anything. Can I tell you something? Your immobility or being bound may be actually out of comfort. So your being bound may not necessarily be something obviously negative. It could be the fact that you have it too good. It could be the fact that you have settled. It could be the fact that you are too comfortable. And because you're too comfortable, your eyes is closed to the things God wants to do. Freedom, a loosening happened to these three young men because of a fire experience. Praise the Lord. Second point. A fire experience brings about development of maturity, character, strength, grit. There's a false doctrine that says that, and I normally say this, that because I'm a Christian, because I'm born again, everything must go well. That's false doctrine. Bible says the rain falls on both the righteous and the unrighteous. The grace that you have being saved is the Holy Spirit in you, the Word of God that gives you comfort, that gives you inspiration to know how to be able to strengthen and make it through to the other side. This race of Christianity needs for you to be strong. This race of Christianity needs for you to have strength. This race needs for you to be a fighter. The principles of life are not discarded when you become a Christian. The principles of hard work, the principles of grit, knowing how to fight, knowing how to go after your dream, and even after you fail, you keep trying, and God keeps strengthening you, and then you find a breakthrough. Being born again does not necessarily exempt you from some of the painful things that happens in life. It doesn't. And I have no answer for you, and I will not pretend to you that I have an answer. I'm not here to give you sad stories. I'm just here to give you reality that part of the reasons why we have these experiences is to develop us, to develop our spiritual muscles, to develop maturity. Let's go to Daniel 3:29 as I talk about the third point of the purpose of the fire experience. Praise the Lord. Daniel 3:29. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut. Now, this is the same king who had just thrown people who were lifting up their hands to God, thrown them to fire because they have refused to follow him or follow his own God. But when he saw them being delivered in such a miraculous way, he had to bow to a higher power. Your fire experience is needed so that those who truly need to understand and know God, they come to know God. It is funny because these same people from chapter 1, they had done some marvelous things concerning that nation. But what they did was probably not big enough for the king to hear. Some lower ranking people heard. Your experience, understand me, that sometimes the people who truly need to hear about the gracious God that you have, if they've not heard, God will bring fire situations that would elevate you so that people who need to hear will truly hear about God. That experience is to glorify God. See, there are some experiences God will bring you out of that even you by yourself, you don't need to tell people that God did this. They will come to you and say, this is not normal. Right? There will be some promotions that you will get coming from a lonely place that they would have to ask you, how did you do it? And then it becomes an opportunity to give God glory. Understand that Meshach and these two other Hebrew people did not preach to the king beyond standing on their faith, right? But a miracle happened that the king who did not believe God said there was a God. Praise the Lord. So we've talked about freedom and loosening. We've talked about development of maturity, character, strength, grit. Talked about elevating and glorifying God. Let's read Daniel 3:30 for the last point on purpose of the fire experience. Purpose of the fire experience. Before I go there, this morning, I was having a conversation with my daughter. I told her I was going to give her credit for this. Their mom made their hair, and anytime she's making their hair, for those who have daughters, I think it's a tug of war. My goodness. I was like, let's just cut this thing out. No, you don't want to cut it, but then you're crying, and thing goes on for hours, right? Like almost 8 hours, literally. If you see them, you see they're really beautiful, really. And so we had a conversation this morning, and then I said, you don't want us to cut this hair, but yet it's something you cry about. She made a profound statement. I just said, my daughter is a preacher. She said, you know what? I will just cry through the process because when I go look at the mirror, I will see myself beautiful. See? Exactly what I did. I was like, what? And then my silly son, when I said, did you hear what your sister said? I said, what did she say? And then busted out laughing. That's so profound. She said, I will go through the pain because when I look at myself in the mirror, I will be beautiful. If you quote it, please quote my daughter. Her name is Juba. It's original. Praise the Lord. It's original. I was just like, wow, sis, I'll use that. So Juba, I'm giving you credit whenever you watch this. All right. So Daniel 3:30. It says, then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. That experience finally led to their promotion. So the question was, if they did not have that experience, would that promotion have come? According to this scripture, that promotion would not have come. So a fire experience, when I defined it, I say something that is highly pressured situation. Highly fearful, extremely uncomfortable, in which success seems very slim and unlikely. This definition is mine, but I can tell you that the greatest and successful people in business, this is their definition. When you think about business and the percentage of success rate in this country, I hear it's like 10%. There's this young man now who did this. He's a Nigerian guy. Came from Nigeria, God knows, 15 years ago, and did this app that they use Grammarly. Is it Grammarly? Calendly. Right? The guy failed, two, three times, and eventually became a success. And he used his life savings and all of that. This is the definition. Especially that last one. Success is slim and very unlikely. This man is not crying and staying on the side, and this is just the principles of life. Develop strength, develop grit, be a fighter. But at the end of the day, for these people, it led to promotion. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to jump into the final phase of my message. It's going to be a little longer. Living through the fire experience. How do you live through it? How do I live through this fire experience? Number one, it's important for us to understand that the fire experience is not an indication that you have sinned or did something wrong. See, when life for us as believers doesn't go our way, I often ask myself, why is it that the first thing sometimes we check is, have I done something wrong? Right? What just happened to you is called life. Life happened. I'm going to pivot a little bit because I want to show you something. Psalm 103, verse 7. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. If all you know about your God right now is the Mercedes and is the house in Frisco, and your bank account with Fidelity, and your trips to Dubai, and all the gifts that you get, then right now you're still children of Israel, at least from this verse, who just knows his acts. And as good as that sounds, let me show you what that results in. Exodus 13:17-18. Then it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and returned to Egypt. So God led the people around by the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. So let's do Bible study. How many years did the children of Israel spend in the wilderness? Okay. So some Bible scholars say if he had led them through the way of the Philistines, it would have been a few weeks. Whatever it was, it would have been way less than 40 years. So God did that. Why? We just read it. Somebody help me. Because he did not want them to see war. Okay. Now, if you quickly read that and moved on, you think you caught the revelation. So let me see if I can throw some light into this. Just because God suspended their learning temporarily didn't mean he did away with the potential learning that he wanted them to have. I'll repeat that slowly. Temporarily, he said, I don't want these people to run away from me because I showed them what life is going to be or what life could be. So temporarily, I'm not going to show it to them. Now listen, this is me trying to explain that, right? Now let me ask you this. So after that, how many wars did the children of Israel fight? Okay, let me ask that again. So he said, I'm not going to lead them through the land of the Philistines, right? Because of what? Because of war. Good. But what happened before Jesus came? How many wars did the children of Israel eventually go through? Let me help you. A lot. To the extent that King David was refused building the temple of God because God said, you fought so much wars, your hand are soiled with blood, it's going to be a hair of yours that does not have blood, and so they use Solomon. Which I think we should have a discussion about that. But we'll leave that. Because the temple that was eventually built is no more. Maybe Solomon should have gone through war. But in God's wisdom, that's how he did it. So what am I trying to tell you? If you don't learn that lesson, let me use a different analogy. Either you are in high school, you are in college. If you don't pass, you don't get promoted. If you don't get promoted, you don't graduate. If you are from Africa, there's something called carryover. And until you pass, you will not graduate. So here is the point. Do not try to avoid the lessons of life God is trying to give you. Because at some point, you have to go through it. You have to pass it. You have to graduate for you to get that promotion. Temporarily for Israel, they avoided it. If God could trust them enough to maintain, to have strength and see war, their journey would have been cut short. Their end may have been different. Because even after they had avoided it, 40 years, most of them died. Their generations, listen to this, their generations still had to deal with war. That shocked me. Because for you, you thought, oh, God allowed me, so I just avoided it. You will meet it. Young man, young woman, if you are still messing around and God is giving you an opportunity to learn that lesson, you may think that you have gamed the system. You're still going to learn that lesson. Newsflash. The maturity that God is calling us all to, I want to recommend and suggest that you align with God, gain that maturity, and gain it quick and fast. Because where God wants to take you, if you don't attain that maturity, you will not get there. You're just going to be going around and around and around. The lessons of life, that's why they call it lessons of life. You can't skip it. You can skip it temporarily. You can avoid it and pretend. You're still going to meet it. The immaturity that you are displaying now, and God is saying, Mr. Man, Mr. Lady, Oh, no, it's not Mr. Lady. I have to be careful. Get careful. Please scratch that. Miss Lady. Learn that. All right, that was just a detour, a pivot. But understand, so back to our point, understand that the fire experience is not an indication that you have sinned or you've done something wrong. It's not an indication at all. And at the same time, learn the lessons that God wants you to learn. Don't avoid it. Is it tough? Yes, it's tough. But learn it. Number two, let's go to Daniel 3, 8 to 12. Daniel 3, 8 to 12. Actually, let's start at 7, since I'm going to go to 7 anyway. Let's start at 7. Daniel 3, 7. Thank you. So at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the horn, flute, harp, and lyre, in symphony with all kinds of music, all the people, nations, and language fell down and worshipped the gold image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. 8. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, minstrel, and symphony, in symphony with all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have set over affairs of the province of Babylon. And there's a reason I'm using this voice. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This man, O king, have not paid their due. Regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. I call this point, in trying to live through your fire experience, that you should beware of busybodies. Beware of busybodies. This is a challenge as people of God that we face, because understand that we are very good, at least a number of us, about minding our own business. But for some reason, there are some who choose to help you mind your business. Let me try to paint you a picture here. And then that goes to the verse 7 that we read with this. See, King Nebuchadnezzar was a smart king. He built this statue. I think they said it's about 90 feet, built the statue. And everybody left him alone. You know, king, you do you. That's okay. And then the king was very strategic. Pay attention to this, because there's about to be a point coming out of this. He invited everybody to come for a celebration. Did you know that in that invitation, he did not mention the reason for that invitation? If you read it very well. But he had a plan. And so when everybody gathered, what he was intending to do was to let everybody at one time bow down to his image. See, there's a spiritual agenda to that. And for those who are born again, who've been in the occult before, you would understand what I mean. There's a spiritual implication that you go somewhere or you do something and you bow. Right? There's an implication to that. So that king knew that. I believe the three Jewish young men had inspiration in them. That's why they did not go for the invitation. Because if they did, that situation becomes more challenging. You know why? Think about this. This is everybody being invited. And the king says, this is what we're going to do. But that's not only what he did. All his guards with AK-44 were all over the place. Right? They had everything. And then he makes an announcement. And he said, by the way, if you don't do it, you are going into the fire and all his guards are there. I'm going to blow these horns. I'm going to blow this equipment. Once I do it, everybody bow down. Nobody was thinking about, hey, what is my strength, what is my faith, or anything. Here is the point. Sometimes your best ways of avoiding those kind of situations is not to be there at all. Stop going to places where, you know, like they said, pastor said, Jesus is following you. It's right behind you. You ask yourself that, where you are going, when you look back, is Jesus over there or is he right behind you? If Jesus is over there, you tell the people that invited you, I need to go back to Jesus. Because there are some places that you may enter. If God has given you a word or a direction not to go there, if you enter there, he may not save you. You guys, sometimes we don't understand how spiritual principle works, because now you blame God. You were there, you did not help me, but he said not to go there. It's the same God that can bring down kingdoms, kings, that will tell Elijah, run. Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. But again, these busybodies found out that the three Jewish men did not go. In fact, the king did not know. The king did not know. So they went to the king. Translation, you are minding your own business. People are stealing money, not in Nigeria. And you choose not to partake in that. You choose not to partake of whatever sin is going on in your environment or going on in your workplace. You choose to separate yourself. But even you being quiet and separating yourself is a problem. And so all of a sudden, some people will go and say, have you seen that one? The king did not even know. Leave them alone. That's what's going on in our generation now. I may disagree with whatever you call your... I can't say this. Okay, whatever you call your... whatever you call your perspective. That one is more... So I have told you that my perspective is different and I'm not fighting with you and I'm just here by myself minding my business. But then now you are trying to force me that you must accept. I thought you said this is the land of freedom. Be free there and let me be free here. But you are challenging my freedom here even when I have left you alone. Why? So beware of them. And sometimes it does happen that they will find you out. They will challenge your integrity. They challenge your faith. They challenge your honesty. They will challenge your holiness. That may also be God allowing that as an opportunity for a lifting, allowing that for an opportunity for a celebration, allowing that for his glory. But may I also tell you and encourage you, just like I said earlier on, where Jesus will not follow you, don't go. There's no guarantee that when the trouble happens, he will deliver you. There's no guarantee because he has already told you, don't go. Let me bring it down to my brothers and sisters in college or the young ones. I'm not against having a nice time. I'm not against parties. How many rape cases have we heard that goes unreported because you all go to parties and they drug your drink? And because of shame, it goes unreported, right? But the question is, if you really ask yourself, right, is do you really believe that the Lord told you to go to that party? You guys can have fun. Nobody is saying you shouldn't. But I keep thinking about these three Hebrew children, men, that if they had gone to the invitation of the king, it looks good. Think about it. The king invited. There's free food. How many people like free food? Free drinks. Think about all the food that you love to eat. The king had that. The best DJs in town, the king had that. You were going to the palace. But for some reason, these three young men chose not to be part of that gathering. Every other person in that gathering was spiritually tied to a covenant because they all bowed down. Please understand that I'm not excusing any perpetrators. I just want to protect you from putting yourself in that situation. Young woman, I don't know how long you've known that young man in college. But what are you doing in his room at an unholy hour, just you and that person? I'm just saying. Why didn't you protect that which God has planned for you? All right, my third point, we have one more to go and then we'll rise up to pray. Do not compromise. Understand that this process is part of your maturity, is part of your teaching. Do not compromise. Do not compromise. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they spoke to the king. And I'm telling you, they must have known the ways of God for them to say, our God is able. Even if he is not, and he chooses not to deliver us, we will still not bow down. It is God all day long. What does that mean? Even if God will not give me that which I want, at least now, or there's no guarantee if I'll ever get it, he is still God. Again, I don't want to start sharing stories that would make us sad, but it's been around us. Difficult situation in which men in pain are still lifting up their hands to say, God is God. God is God. I can't explain it, but God is God. So do not compromise. Do not compromise. Is it going to be tough? It may be. Is it going to be hard? Maybe. But then we know the true test of that which is inside of you. We know the true test of what your commitment is. We know the true test of what your faith is. Allow the process to run its course. Don't try to jump out too soon. Right? Don't try to abandon ship. Just say, preacher, when is it going to be over? I don't know. I don't know. Will it be over? Yes. When? I don't know. But stay. Stay. Just take it a day at a time. Stay. Finally, when you can, in fact, I want to encourage you as much as possible during your fire experience. Do not be there alone. Don't do this thing alone. That's why you have a community. If you notice, it was these three men that were in the fire. They said they saw them walking together, and not just them, they saw another fourth that looked like the son of a god, right? So two things. There are people who walk alone from the standpoint of not even letting Jesus walk with them, because at that point they've abandoned sheep, they've abandoned Jesus, they've abandoned the relationship. So that signifies two things. When they said there were four of them walking, there's an aspect of when you're going through the fire, the temptation for you to abandon sheep, abandon your faith, and just look at Jesus, look at God, look at the relationship and say, I am done. This relationship is not working for me. Don't do that. Hold on. Number two, apart from the Son of God, a Son of God, as the scripture says, being there, there were three of them. They were not by themselves. Please don't run away from the people of God at your lonely times. Isolation is one of the major strategies of the enemy. Even in battle, One of the things the Russians were trying to do to these people is to figure out a way in some of the cities to box them in, cut off all roads and all of that. And once you isolate people, there is no oxygen, there's no supplies, there's no food, there's no help that can come to them. Then gradually you can begin to kill them. It's the same spiritual strategy. Once you are isolated, then it says you are alone. Nobody loves you. Nobody cares for you. And guess what? Nobody is able to pray for you because you are alone and you've made yourself alone. And then it's easier for the enemy to pick you apart one by one by one until for some people they get to the place of no return. Let's rise up on our feet. Let's close our eyes. I know somebody is here today that is going through a fire experience, and I trust that the word of God has found a place in your heart. But I want to pray for you. We want to pray for you. We want to pray for ourselves. But also, if you're here and you're not saved, God is not somebody who forces himself on people. So an invitation is going out if you want a relationship with him, so that indeed he can help you. Indeed he can comfort you. He can lift you. He can encourage you. He can inspire you. Let me just see your hands. I'm not going to call you out. That is going to be more of an indication to God. Just to say, Lord, I'm ready to turn over my life to you. If you're here, you want to be saved, just indicate real quick for about 2 seconds. Bring down your hand. If you're here, all eyes closed, just respecting the people, just lift up your hands. I'm going to pray anyway. So repeat after me. Father, Lord, everybody, let's do it so that for those who really need to do it, they can do it together. Let's go. Father, Lord, I bring myself before you. A sinner, save me today. Wash me by the blood. I receive Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior, and the strength to sin no more. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to wrap up now and close. Let's lift up our hands in surrender. Father, here we are. Today we stand in faith. We thank you for the fire experience. But today, Lord, we are asking for your grace, for your strength on each and every one of us. Father, you know us. Oh God, you know our journeys. You know where we've gone. You know where we're coming from. And so, Lord, we ask for grace. We ask for strength during this journey, oh God. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, let's celebrate as we call on our pastor.